Disco.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Good morning. Welcome to episode number 75 of the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and we've got one heck of a show lined up today. First off, Travis Pastrana. I mean, in the world of motorsports, I don't care what you're talking about. There is no one bigger than Travis Pastrana. Going to have him on air here in a minute or two. We've got Rhiannon Smith calling in a little bit. Australian rally racer, runs with her brother Brendan Reeves. Now they've gone to the United States running Rally America and had two highly successful runs. And then even later on in the show, we'd have Andrew Cadell, short course racer, who's got a couple of big announcements to make, and we'll keep you hanging out for that. But before we get to any of that, we've got Travis Pastrana calling in. Happy to welcome Travis Pastrana to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. How's everything been going, Travis?
Man, everything's been going good. Just kind of crazy busy trying to figure out how to make some left turns here.
Yeah, well, before we get into NASCAR, I got to congratulate you and Lindsay on the new addition, or future addition to your family. That's got to be pretty exciting for you guys.
Oh, super exciting. I mean, it's it's crazy to think. I mean, as little sleep as we get already and as much as we travel, it's going to be a challenge. But I tell you what, I couldn't be more excited about anything that I've ever done. Just got a permagrin right now. And, yeah, she's showing pretty good right now, and it's just wake up every morning just smiling. So we'll see where that goes, where that takes us. Whole new path.
Yeah, for sure. Talking about new paths and left turns, I mean, you know, you've been doing NASCAR, you know, for a while now, and it looks like this year, you know, specifically, you've made a lot of improvements to the NASCAR program, a couple of top tens, you've had a pole. You know, how do you feel about the season thus far, and how's it been working with Roush Fenway and Ford?
I tell you what, Roush Fenway has been awesome. It's so good because last year, like, I'd go to a test and, you know, it was just me on the Rory Benton, the RAB team. It's a great team. But, you know, when you're testing by yourself, I'm like, okay, there's no way anyone can go faster. you feel like you're going as fast as a car go. But, you know, now I got, Ricky Stenhouse, who won the championship the last 2 years. You got, Trevor Bain. You got Carl Edwards, who jumps down from the Cup cars to really help out. And, we're pretty much the same size, so you can just jump right in and out of the cars. So it just helps the testing and helps progress. And if I'm having a good day or a bad day, I know where those guys are quicker, how fast the cars that I'm driving have the capability of going. And it's just, and what the limitations are. So it's a really good fit. But, it's just tough because the faster I try to go, like in motocross, if you try to go faster, man, you shift up a gear, you pin it through the whoops, you jump to a couple flats and you make up some time. Same thing with rally. It's all about aggression and just getting in the corners deeper and getting on the gas sooner. But with NASCAR, for the mid part of the season, I was trying to go faster and just going slower. So we're kind of back to, okay, let's just be consistent, finish some more races out, and figure out how to get a little bit of speed.
Well, in talking about NASCAR and rally, I mean, you know, obviously rally and NASCAR are just totally different worlds. I mean, you know, how have you had to adapt your driving style? You know, rally, everything's sideways and a little more, a little more free flowing. And NASCAR, everything's so precise in hitting your marks. I mean, how have you had to adjust as a driver to running on in NASCAR?
You know, the biggest difference for me is just that you have to be right on the edge, but not over it. In rally, man, I tell you what, especially like, actual rally, you're going to, so you only see each corner one time. So you're going to be sideways. You're going to be, almost in the woods, and, you can make up time by just taking a little more, risk with whatever your co-driver's saying. Rally cross, I mean, except for the first round, honestly, in Brazil, really suited like a road course driver because it was very, very slick. We weren't allowed dirt tires. We got a spec tire on there, and it was all dirt course. So it was just who could be the most patient. And patience has not been a virtue of mine in really anything. So I'm working on it in NASCAR. It's been my biggest challenge for sure.
Well, and talking about NASCAR going forward, I mean, obviously you're in Nationwide this year, you're with one of the best teams in NASCAR. I mean, long-term, I mean, is Cup your goal? And, it's not something you're going to do for a year or two. I mean, Cup is where you want to be, in the future, correct?
My goal right now is to figure out how to get on top of Nationwide. I mean, it's awesome. You got a lot of the Cup guys. I mean, you know, it's been frustrating. Kyle Busch is, you know, he's won almost half of our races, so it's like, doggone, man. It's cool to have those guys and Casey Kane and, you know, those guys racing with us, pretty much every weekend. And, you know, Dale Jr. dropped in for one race, and his car wasn't great, I don't think, but it was cool. I came around and I lapped Dale Jr. I was like, woohoo! You know, this is at least, you know, one of the races I'm battling to get back on the lead lap, which I was bummed out, but it was, battling with Brad Keselowski, who's the Cup champion. So I'm like, okay, we're in the ballpark here. You know, he's got to figure out how to get that little extra, you know, half a tenth a lap that just, get qualified up better and keep up with leaders. So, I'd like to go Cup, but right now I got to figure out how to get in the top five, figure out how to win some nationwide races.
Well, in talking about Global Rallycross and GRC, I mean, you know, we go back, you know, we're talking like 10 years now, and you really made – you know, rally as a sport relevant in the U.S. when it, you know, it had a very small following. You started running with Rally America. You've toyed with some WRC. Now you've been a part of the GRC since its inception, and it's truly gone global now. How do you feel about the state of GRC and rally in the United States?
Man, I think GRC is such a great sport. I mean, they've definitely had some hiccups, just as far as, I wouldn't say the organization's bad by any means. The guys, it's just trying to figure out how to get, everyone's got ideas on how they want it run. And this year they really stepped up the program, and they've got, the guys that are managing the tour or, you know, the GRC are really doing a good job of saying, look, these are the rules. We're sticking to them. I mean, it was pretty much a democracy with everyone making rules the last couple of years. So, I think that's going to really help. The course designs, it's really difficult because it's, you know, like X Games last year, we had one of the guys went out and Topi. He went and came up short on the big jump, which was an over under jump, and broke his ankle. The car caught on fire. He landed upside down. They didn't have the safety guys weren't right there, and the rest of the Europeans were like, hey, we're not racing. This is too dangerous. But yeah, I don't necessarily think that the jumps are too dangerous. So they took those out this year, where we don't have any over under jumps unless it's the bridge. I think we started out maybe a little reckless with the jumps, but I also think that, it's like motocross or anything. If you don't make the jumps, you're going to get hurt. So, I think they could stick a lot to that. But we'll see. Now that it's gone global, there's a few different rules coming in. And I'd like to see some dirt tires when we have dirt events, and some, tarmac tires when we have tarmac events. But, the spec tire is what it is, I guess. So it's, there's a lot of things that are very challenging. But right now it's cool because everyone's on equal playing field. And you got some of the WRC guys. I mean, heck, Scott Fee went out in the first round and was able to get a win there. But it's just, it's been tough. So we'll see what happens. But I definitely like the format. Not the format, but I like the concept. And I like, everything about it. And that Dodge Dart, man, we had so much fun driving that thing. I mean, 600 horsepower, 0 to 16 under 2 seconds. There's not much that beats it. That's for doggone sure.
Well, and talking about the Dodge Dart, I know Dirtfish, some really great people up there. How's it been having the guys at Dirtfish involved in your GRC program?
Oh, man, Dirtfish has been so cool. I honestly haven't gotten a chance to utilize that place as much as I would like to. I've been up there twice, before the first round with Bryce Menzies, and just it's cool if you got instruction up there. And no matter what level you are, you can always learn something from people that have been around it and are around, the rally every day. And it's really cool to go up there and just learn. And there's so many roads, man. I don't think we picked the same road, twice for a lot of the stuff. And then, you come down and you get the GRC course or replica kind of course that's set up. So we have so much fun up there. They have classes going on all the time, and just jump in one, and it's cool because all my friends are like, hey, I want to go up there. I'm like, let's go, man. Let's do a week. Let's have some fun, because I tell you, there's not much better than rallying around some awesome roads, and that Dirtfish has some really, really cool roads and some buildings that are just empty, so you can just rally through the buildings. It's a pretty wild experience.
Well, and talking about Bryce Menzies, obviously, he ran X Games and then filled in for you at SEMA last year. You took him on as a partner this year. He's got the off-road background and, in torque and score and best in the desert. How's it been having, an additional person on the team to be able to give feedback and running two cars instead of one?
Bryce has been absolutely awesome. He's a really good tester. Really works hard, works with the team well. Everybody likes him on the team. you know, is always up for listening. And that's something that's pretty cool for a multi-time, you know, tour champion, some guy, you know, that has a lot of experience in off-road racing. And he comes on and he realizes that, you know, it's just a little bit of different sports, can take a little bit of time to get used to, you know, but, you know, we're working hard and we're trying to figure out, you know, get the Dodge Dart to the best that we possibly can. You know, with our schedules, both of us have a lot of other stuff going on. So I feel like we're at just a little bit of a disadvantage there, but that's where Dirtfish really comes in. We can, when we do test it, we can make it really worth our while. So for me, it's huge to have someone else that's helping out, getting the car set up, getting everything dialed in. And, you know, we struggled a little bit. We really struggled all the way around as a team at that first round. You know, the dart's a little bit heavier, which is a little bit bigger, which isn't really a problem, but with the lack of traction, we couldn't really put the power down that we have. So it's kind of a frustrating round. And then the second round got rained out. So, you know, we still haven't really had a chance to show, show what we really have as a team and what we've been able to put together in the offseason. So I'll miss the next X Games, unfortunately, and I'll be racing over here, racing NASCAR. So, but I will be back for five of the nine events. So looking forward to it.
Well, in talking about Menzies and Torque, you know, obviously he's got the, you know, the off-road tie-in with Pro 2. They built you a truck last year. You take it in debut in Pro 2 in Chicago. Right out of the box, you take a podium. You know, it had been exciting for you. You know, when are we going to see you run again? And, you know, is that something that's definitely on your radar?
Oh, for sure. Definitely. I'm coming back. I'll be racing Torque in Chicago again this year. Just the schedule fits out great. Really trying to find another one to do, for sure. Just a matter of, I mean, just between our testing with Rally and trying to put our best foot forward with that team, you know, being a team owner, and then with Nitro Circus doing as well as it's doing and trying to, you know, kind of keep guiding that franchise a little bit. And then also, you know, with NASCAR, which is my main priority. It's just tough to get the time to get out there. But, man, that was a blast. And you know, I definitely wasn't – I was, you know, probably 8th to 10th quickest, but we just took it really nice and easy that first race, and everyone was crashing out. Actually, Bryce was—he got spun right in front of me and just barely missed tail. I was like, "Holy cow! Can't take out the teammate." But that was—it was really, really a blast. And the second night, I was like, "All right, we're gonna go. We're gonna go hard. We're gonna go for a win." I rolled the thing right over. But something to be said about consistency, I guess.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was giving Jolene a little bit of flack. You know, I said, "Well, you know, you debuted in Torque," and I said, "You did it in true Nitro fashion, right?" And both of you, you know, you made it exciting for the fans, that's for sure.
Oh man, Jolene, shoot! Matt Crafton jumped in because we had a little budget for Nitro Circus for the movie. So I was like, "Hey, Jolene, you want to ride and drive?" She's like, "Yeah, I'd love to drive." I was like, "Crafton, you want to drive?" Because Matt Crafton, you know, he's leading the truck series right now, a NASCAR truck series. And he's like, "Oh, I'll kick your butt." So we had bets going. And Jolene makes it literally like a lap and a quarter. She had barely been out there. She's only getting 2 laps of practice because she missed the first day doing an appearance of some sort. And, man, I tell you what, she went end for end, broken ribs, coughing up blood, concussed. I was like, "Holy cow, I had no idea you'd get messed up that bad in a truck." But I tell you what, it made Sports Center. So I guess she did her job. Nitro got on the map.
Exactly. Well, and talking about Nitro, I mean, you know, you guys just announced your huge U.S. tour. You've grown Nitro Circus to the point it's really become its own self-sufficient business instead of a side project. I mean, you know, it's this huge, massive thing now. I mean, world tour, movie. You know, what's next for Nitro Circus?
You know, the movie was a lot of fun. The DVDs were great. Now with the internet, there's not as much room to – we can't really budget big, you know, kind of big budget, really fun trips for DVD stuff because everything's kind of gone to the internet and whatnot. But, you know, the movie was absolute blast, traveled around. Unfortunately, we all got hurt kind of early on in that. And after you're hurt a little on Nitro Circus, you're like, "All right, I got a broken ankle. How can I do this next – you know, you don't really have a day off on the filming stuff." So – what's awesome about Nitro Live is it brought it back to the roots of, you know, there was a whole crew of us for the first Nitro Circus. And it was just a bunch of athletes, you know, having fun, trying new stuff, trying to push their sports, whatever the sports may be. And that kind of lifestyle, if you will, has really lived on and grown exponentially in Nitro Circus Live tours. I mean, those guys are over in Australia right now just having an absolute blast. They're surfing every morning. They're, they're going to, you know, skating all the skate parks around the, pretty much, you know, they're living on the Gold Coast, and just, you know, all the guys are so good. I mean, you guys like, you know, Bilko, Blake Williams, could be winning X Games gold medals, and he's like, you know what, I just want to run this Nitro Tour. This is why I started freestyle. This is what freestyle is about. We push each other with a group of friends. We travel the world and, you know, just have a lot of fun. It's not a, you know, it's not about going out and trying to please the judges. It's about trying to put on a good show and, you know, trying to push yourself. So that's our goal, is to keep kind of the roots of action sports alive with Nitro. And, you know, really we're talking about now starting like a Nitro Academy, where we just keep, you know, new blood kind of coming through, and just, you know, keeping that kind of dream of, hey, let's have a lot of fun. Let's be with a lot of guys that are really knowledgeable about what they're doing, to learn from them, but also just to push them and to add a little bit of new spice to action sports, and, you know, to keep it from getting like gymnastics or something. Nothing against gymnastics. It's just, you know, for me, action sports is all about progression, and the ramps have to keep changing. The sights have to keep changing. The tricks have to keep changing. And we're trying to do that and do it in a safe way.
Well, and, you know, in talking about Nitro, we've had Jolene on the show a couple times now, and I've asked her the same question. And so I'm asking you to see if, you know, if your answer is the same as hers. But you've done a lot of crazy stuff between Nitro. I mean, X Games, you've done the Red Bull New Year's No Limit stuff. I mean, what's the craziest thing that you've done that you still look back and you go, wow, I mean, what was I thinking?
Probably, I would say hindsight is 2020, but we were pretty sure about it before we started. But it was probably when Jolene and I went off to the Grand Canyon. I'm not sure what she said, but from my perspective, everyone in base jump world and the skydive world says, look, you need at least 500 jumps. You need years of training before you take anyone off of a base jump, especially if it's a tandem base jump, pretty much. Like, she's on the same motorcycle, a motorcycle base jump, off of a ramp in the middle of the desert, like, you know, landing in, you know, a rock garden at the bottom. It's pretty much a double black diamond jump. And we went off, and I was like, all right, Jolene, give thumbs up to the camera, smile if you can, then jump off. You're going to jump off first. Well, I must have panicked, because I ended up jumping off first. She got kicked in the face, grabs back on the motorcycle trying to get her bearings, is stuck underneath the thing, opens, like, really low, straight into the cliff, swings it around. She does an amazing job. Lands perfect, like, you know, like on her tippy toes, ding ding, like, oh, that was fine. I'm meanwhile having a heart attack, thinking I just killed one of my best friends, and that Nitro is going to be done, and we're going to be just being completely reckless, even though it was fairly reckless. But so that was probably the dumbest thing that we've done, because it involved me encouraging somebody else, believing in them, and then going, oh crap, how far have I taken it?
That was her exact answer was the same thing you gave. It's funny. It's to the point where I probably need to pull that file and, you know what I mean, and run them side by side with this one just to hear the two.
I'm sure our versions are a little bit different. But she's like, no, I was fine. It was easy.
So talking about motorcycles, I mean, you know, obviously you've run Supercross. Your roots, I mean, are on two wheels. You know, it basically formed your career. You're one of the pioneers of freestyle motocross. I mean, you know, how often are you on a bike nowadays? And do you feel like you've got any unfinished business on two wheels?
You know, with freestyle moto, I think the biggest thing I can contribute is more through the Nitro Circus and just helping the ramps and building stuff. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to be able to make a good living doing the stuff that I love. And, you know, it's for most of the kids coming up, they're just working on the ramps that they're going to have at a contest, you know, because it's expensive to try to build ramps and you don't really have the time. You're like, look, I want to be the best at this sport and I want to be able to make a living doing it. And, you know, so I'm going to work on these ramps where I can say, look, you know, especially in the years to come, like, I got some free time. And you have a lot of people, a lot of resources, especially with Red Bull and those guys. They're always up for trying to build some stuff. So, you know, it's just to really help continually progress the sport, just to make sure that, you know, it doesn't kind of fizzle out or kind of become stale or monotonous. I mean, that's something that freestyle can't do if it wants to continually grow. So, you know, I definitely feel like I can add a bit there, and I'll still be riding all the time. I mean, I ride, you know, weekly, but it's not to the same level of, you know, the top guys. I enjoyed hair scrambles and trail riding and woods and cliff jumping and stuff. It's a little less of the just putting in, you know, 40-minute motos every day. So it's good time though.
Well, and you know, that being said, you know, I know Jolene, she's taken up Endurocross, and you know, any desire on your part to maybe just surprise everybody and show up like at Los Angeles with your bike and go Endurocross racing for X Games?
I think I'm too injured for this. I was looking, I mean, she's turned my whole track into Endurocross track, and man, we've been bringing rocks and boulders and logs and intentionally making it muddy and sinkholes and trees, and I'm like, what are we doing? This is all the stuff we worked for so long to get off the track. Like, this sport is crazy. I mean, I love watching it. It's amazing, but yeah, Jolene was going around in Spain, and she was doing her warm-up lap, and she tried to wheelie over this big old log that none of the girls were doing, and she hit it pretty fast, thinking that it was going to help her, and it just, the bike just stopped. It framed out. She flew like 30 feet, landed on her head on a rock, and I couldn't help but giggle a little bit. I was just like, man, these girls and guys are tough. And yeah, I'm plenty content watching that sport from the stand.
Too funny. Well, as we wind this thing down, you know, I'm a desert racer, so I've got to ask you this question. You know, you've dabbled with trophy trucks a little bit. You've done Baja. You know, you've toyed with desert racing. You know, any chance that, you know, long term, maybe we'll see you back in Baja or trying your hand at a trophy truck, especially now with the Bryce Menzies tie-in?
Yeah, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I would love to. Absolutely, it would be my dream to go down there and race, you know, full week, race to, you know, Chargy and burn to the ground. But I haven't had a lot of great luck. I mean, we finished third on the motorcycle 1 year. That was pretty good behind, you know, both those Honda teams. Their pits were good. They dialed it in, you know, with Andy Grinder and whatnot. But we you know, never won down there. And I would love to go down there and try my hand at it. But, you know, Bryce, that's one race that he's never won. And we talked, I'm like, Bryce, you go ahead and you win this thing. You bring back all that knowledge, and then let's go the next year. And I want to go as your teammate, man. Let's see what we can do. So that's where I'd like to go. But, you know, definitely it's just a time thing. It takes a lot of time to do that right. To go down there those guys know that, you know, that Baja Peninsula, like the back of their hand. But I definitely have to spend a lot of time if I wanted to be on the top team, or, you know, not just sabotage Bryce's effort down there for sure.
Well, I thank you for your time. Gotta tell you, good luck with Global Rallycross and NASCAR for the remainder of the year, and congrats on the future Pastrana, and thanks for taking the time to come on air with us.
Hey, thanks a lot. Congratulations on your 75th show, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Travis. I appreciate it, buddy.
Talk to them. Bye.
All right, that was Travis Pastrana. How exciting was that? I mean, really, you know, we're 75 shows in now, and that's gotta be, you know, I've interviewed some amazing people, and you know, I'm not taking anything away from any of the people I've you know, interviewed, but Travis, you know, just everything that he's done in his career. I mean, you know, he's done WRC, I mean, Rally America, GRC, I mean, you know, he's raced in Baja, NASCAR, you know, he's done Race of Champions, he's, you know, we're not even touching what he's done on two wheels. I mean, you know, talking Supercross, Motocross, Freestyle Motocross, I mean, everything he's done with Red Bull, just really an amazing career, and you know, he's still, you know, got, you know, a ton of years left. It ought to be exciting to see where, you know, where he ultimately ends up and ends up accomplishing. You know, really exciting stuff. I'm just really stoked to have him, you know, part of the show to help celebrate 75 episodes. And thanks to all of you for, you know, tuning in and helping us make this show, I guess, the number one off-road and action motorsports radio show in the world. But we're not even close to being done yet today. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have rally competitor and navigator Rhiannon Smith calling in. And then a little bit after her, we'll have Andrew Cadell with a couple of big announcements that he's going to be making here on air. So should be really exciting. Stay tuned.
Imagine shredding the water on your wakeboard. without a boat. Announcing Wakeboard Island at Blue Water Resort and Casino, where boarders can rip it up skate park style using a two-tower cable system providing a pull. At Wakeboard Island, there's no boats, no exhaust fumes, and inside the Blue Water Marina Complex, so no boat traffic for all skill levels from smooth water beginners to jumps and rails for the hardcore. Wakeboard Island, the coolest ride on the Parker Strip, adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina, and coming soon to Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
KC Highlights is the worldwide leader in off-road and auxiliary lighting since 1970. KC Highlights is all about quality. Their lights are built tough to last. Inside and out, KC has never accepted anything less than the highest quality materials and workmanship for their products. This drive for perfection has produced some of the most revolutionary products in the industry today, such as the full carbon fiber HID KC Pod, a first of its kind. For more information on the full line of KC Highlights products, like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, and visit them on the web at www.kchighlights.com.
It's back. Cage Rage on the River 5 at Blue Water Resort and Casino Saturday, June 29th. MMA cage fighting at its best. Full contact. No mercy. In the cage. It's intense. General admission tickets are only $25. Or go ringside for just $45. Cage Rage on the River 5. The mayhem begins at 6 p.m. Saturday, June 29th. And only at Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker, Arizona.
Companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are HANS compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver. We just got done with a short commercial break, had Travis Pastrana on air before the break, and have to give a little mention, Racetech Seats. I think you heard the commercial over the break, a new partner to the radio show. We had the company owner out of New Zealand, David Black, on air a couple of weeks ago, and he was visiting the States for the V8 Supercars, and we got to talking after we did the interview, and he said, hey, I like what you got going on. Let's get involved. And, you know, those of you involved in motorsports, I mean, you look over, you look over their product line, you look at their safety ratings and what they've accomplished, and, you know, really just some elite level seating, and check them out at racetech-usa.com. They have North American headquarters in Mooresville, North Carolina now, so really dedicated to expanding their presence in the U.S. market, and excited to have them on board, and you know, we'll see what we can do. Probably some exciting stuff coming up with them, but looks like we've got Rhiannon Smith calling in, so let's see if we can get her on the line. How's everything going, Rhiannon?
Good, thanks, Jim. How are you?
Pretty good. So, you know, let's talk about rally right now. I mean, you've had an exciting year. I mean, you and your brother Brendo come over here to the States, and you know, two Rally America events, and you've got two top five finishes. Got to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. We decided to come over in here and have a go in the R2 Ford Fiesta, and so far we've had two podiums and two first place, which has been great for Ford and Team O'Neill. So hopefully we can keep that going and do it at the next rally as well.
Well, and I know, you know, what kind of challenges have you had? I mean, I know you're here in the United States full time now, you know, and you're traveling back and forth to Australia. Brendo's over in Australia. You know, has it been challenging for you guys? I mean, I know at one point you were in Europe and then you flew like to Dubai and then to Australia and then back here to the States. I mean, you know, has it been some logistical challenges, you know, living apart like that?
Yeah, look, it's quite difficult. We're doing the Australian Rally Championship, which has 6 rounds this season, and then obviously trying to do the last 5 rounds of Rally America, as well as juggling, travelling around, doing other things as well. So logistically, it's quite difficult. I'm the one who does all of that for Brendo and I and works out where we need to be at what time and what flight we need to catch and all that sort of stuff. So the jet lag hasn't been the best, but at the end of the day, we're doing what we love, and that's rally. So we're never going to complain if we're feeling a little bit jet lagged or something like that, because at least we're getting to do the sport that we absolutely love.
Well, and, you know, you've been highly successful, I mean, in WRC Academy, you know, the Australian Rally Championship. You know, how did the Rally America thing come about?
Yeah, well, we've done the WRC Academy, like you said, the last 2 years, and before that we did the Pacific Cup in 2010, which we won in our Subaru. So we've been doing international rallying since about 2008 when we started in New Zealand, and Brendan's only 24 now, and we didn't want it to finish after the WRC Academy finished. So we had to look at what options were available and what we could afford, really, with the sponsors that we could find. So when the idea of Rally America come up, when Tim O'Neill spoke to Brendan back in December, we thought that it might be a good opportunity for us to go out of the country again and try and, you know, promote ourselves and show people the talent that Brendan has and hopefully open up some more doors for him.
Well, and, you know, in talking about, you know, finding sponsorship and stuff, I got to commend you guys. I mean, I've actually learned a little bit in the past 6 months from you guys, and I thought I was pretty proficient at finding funding. But you guys have come up with some unique ways to generate money. I mean, you know, you've done some online auctions. I mean, you're selling bonnet sponsorships. I mean, you know, how do you guys, you know, I mean, let's talk a little bit about how you guys market, because I really think it's unique in the way that you're bringing in money to the program.
Yeah, well, in 2011, when we did the WRC Academy, Brendan was a Pirelli star driver, so most of our budget that year come from Pirelli, and it was all paid for, so it was fantastic. But when the 2011 WRC come to Australia, we really wanted to do it in our Subaru, and our family said, well, we can't afford to do it. So I decided that I needed to somehow make the money to be able to pay the tyre bill was the main concern. So that's where the bonnets actually started back in 2011. So I decided that we would put up for grabs places on our bonnet for Rally Australia, and you could pay anything from $50 above. So, you know, some people paid $2,000, some people paid $50, and we raised $15,000 from that bonnet to pay for our tyres for Rally Australia. So then when 2012 come along and we didn't have Pirelli sponsoring us anymore for the Academy, I needed to find other ways that we could, you know, raise a really big budget without finding the big sponsors, which we can't find in Australia. So that's when 2012 it really kicked off. I started a Brendan Reeves Supporters Club, which had about 300 paying members last year, and that brought in a lot of money. And then every Academy round, I would sell bonnet names, and they were $200 a name for the WRC, and it was 20 positions each round. And then for the final round, I sold 40 positions. So the bonnets last year in the Academy raised us about $28,000. And then my online Facebook auctions raised around about $24,000 towards our budget over there. And also I sold 15 by 15 centimeter square logos that went on the roof of our car, and they were $500 each for the season, and that raised us $10,000. So I just had to think outside the square and bring rallying to the people and let people that can't usually help you because they don't have the sponsorship money help you in different ways by giving you $100 here and there and getting their name out there on photos and stuff on the social media. So it was about thinking of it differently rather than, hey, we need a $50,000 sponsor.
Well, and that's, you know, and that's why, you know, looking at your thing, you hear all these rally teams and off-road teams and, you know, and everybody in motorsports complain we can't find a sponsor. And like you said, they're all going out looking for a $50,000 sponsor. And you guys have taken the route, well, you know, we're not going to be able to get a $50,000 sponsor, but we can get a whole lot of $100 and $200 sponsors. And I think it's really been amazing what you guys have accomplished.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is that it means, like, one time a 17-year-old kid in Australia bought a bonnet for $100, and he could never help us, but he got his name on the bonnet, and he felt absolutely rapt that he could actually be on a bonnet that Brennan's driving a car of, and you know, put on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all those social media things and get it out there that, hey, I helped Brenda get to whatever rally it was, and that's what I've really tried to do, bring it to, you know, people that love to support rally, just bring it to them and let them be part of what we're trying to achieve.
Well, you know, and let's make a little, you know, some comparisons. Obviously, you're running a Rally America this year, and you've run two events. I mean, you know, what are some of the comparisons, I mean, between Rally America and, say, you know, Australian Rally? I mean, you know, as far as the courses go, I mean, what kind of adjustments have you guys had to make?
I suppose the biggest difference is Brennan has to drive a right-hand drive Mazda 2 in Australia, whereas in America he drives a left-hand drive Ford Fiesta R2. So obviously there's a huge difference jumping from one side of the car to the other, but because he's so young, only 24, he says it doesn't worry him, so that's not too bad. Our courses in Australia, like America, Australia's a really big country, so we have a huge variety of roads. You know, the last round we did was Rally South Australia, and it was really fast, open, shy roads, but then you got into some stages in that event that were really narrow and fast, but then trees were, you know, in the road. So it's quite a dangerous rally. And then we get over here to STPR, and it's really fast as well. So those two rallies were great to have one after the other, because they actually were very similar in the fact that, you know, you needed to hold a lot of speed in these front-wheel drive cars into the corners to keep the momentum going. So, I mean, sometimes there's good similarities. I find the American Championship seems to have a lot more faster stages than we have at home. The next round we do is Queensland, and it's quite technical, and there's lots of corners, whereas so far in the American Championship we've seen a lot higher speed, faster roads than what we typically get in Australia. So in the little Fiesta R2, it's a little bit hard because, you know, some of these other two-wheel drive cars have got a lot more power than us, but with Brendo's experience he's carried from the WRC Academy, it's meant that he's learned how to drive that car on the limit. Even though it's only a 1.6 litre non-turbo, you know, two-wheel drive, it still has the ability to beat these cars if you drive it, you know, maximum.
Well, and talking about him having to adjust, I mean, you, you know, calling notes, I mean, you know, have you had to make any adjustments sitting on, you know, the opposite side of the car? Has it been a little bit different for you?
Actually, we started in the left-hand drive in 2007, a Subaru, so that was good because Brennan was only 18 then, and we were able to get used to the whole left-hand drive thing. So since 2007, we've sort of had to jump between cars. If we're in Australia, we were generally in a right-hand drive. If we're overseas in Europe or America now, we're in left-hand drive cars. So I think it's just become second nature. The only thing that we tend to do is we actually accidentally walk to the wrong side of the car, and I open the door and, oh, there's a steering wheel there rather than my side. So sometimes that happens, but other than that, you just get used to it, I think, because we've been doing it for quite a while now. But I must admit, I'm always impressed how one week he can be in a left-hand drive car and one week in a right-hand drive car, and he seems to still drive it on the limit and get the great results. So, I mean, I think it's great that he's able to do that and still get those results with jumping from one side to the other.
Well, you know, and you two, I mean, you have a unique relationship, obviously, you know, because your brother and sister. Has it made it a little bit easier for you guys because you had that relationship prior to going rallying?
Yeah, look, when Brennan was only 17, he'd done go-karting and autocross in Australia, and my dad, I was 25, I'm actually 8 years older than him, and Dad said, you know, we need to find Brendan a co-driver, he's going to start rallying soon. Rhiannon, what about you? And at the time I was playing netball, which is a big sport in Australia, and I was sort of looking at the boys thinking, there's no way I'm going rallying, but, you know, rallying was in our blood. Our dad was a rally driver, our brother Nathan's a rally driver, so I decided I'd give it a go, and I started co-driving for several different people while Brendan was still only 17 because he wasn't old enough to rally. And then once he turned 18, we jumped in the car together, and it's been non-stop since then. I counted before, we've done 59 rallies together. So we've done quite a few rallies considering he's only 24 now. And you know, we've been through a lot together. In 2009, we had a serious accident. I broke my legs in 9 places, and I've had to recover from that. And you know, these things, when you're a brother and sister, you work together, and when you've got goals and ambitions, you try and not let things like that, you know, break you down, and you just move on and try and be better. And And brother and sister, obviously, we have a really strong relationship, and we try and, you know, achieve these goals together as a team.
Well, and, you know, and speaking of your team, obviously, you know, you're living here in the States now, you know, pretty much full time. And, you know, with the relationship with Alex, you've got to see, you know, the Hoonigan Racing team, who I know are tuned in. We're giving them a little plug right now. but, you know, you've got to see their program firsthand. And, I mean, you know, they're an elite level program, probably one of the, you know, the best programs in the world. Have you been able to take anything away from that has improved your rally program?
Oh, look, it's good, Alex, and I can talk about Rally America. He's able to help me understand the events, which is really good because obviously I haven't raced here before. And, you know, seeing their team work together is fantastic. Like you said, it is a very professional team, and they've got a really great setup here. And it's really awesome to see. It's also exciting for us to see, you know, in the American Championship, they do have these amazing cars in Higgins and Ken's car, and also Antoine before. You know, he had his accident. So, I mean, the American Championship is really amazing. The Australian Championship is outright two-wheel drive, you know, which is a G2 regulation, whereas you come to America and the open class here is insane. You know, they're world cars, and it's awesome to be competing against them because it gives you the feeling that you're back out there in the WRC competing at the highest level, and you know, you can be putting these times up on the board and working how many seconds per mile or kilometre you are off and those sort of things, and to see the way the American Championship runs and the level of cars that they have has been really good for us because, you know, obviously it is different to our championship at home, which has now gone to front-wheel drive and is building and has got some great manufacturers involved as well now. So they're two totally different championships, but, you know, you get to see some great teams in both of them and you get to see them working at the highest level.
Well, in talking about your next rally, we've got somebody on the chat board here, Denise McMahon from the Bilstein Southwest Rally Cup, and she's saying that they're interested in buying a bonnet sponsorship for the next rally. Do you have any left, and how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so we've got two left for the New England Forest Rally. I've sold 28 so far of the 30, so they're $100 a place, and yeah, definitely I just checked Facebook before, there's still two left. You can either go onto my Facebook page, which is Rhiannon Smythe, or I've obviously got Instagram, which is ReRally, or Twitter ReRally, or they can contact me on my email, which is rhirally@gmail.com, and shoot me an email, and definitely we'll get you on the bonnet. We've got a new sponsor for the next round at New England Forest Rally, and that's Matt Freer, and we're really excited about that. They've jumped on board to help out with our sponsorship to get us there, which is awesome. And hopefully these 30 bonnets will sell. That'll raise us $3,000 as well. And Ford America's jumped on board to help us out some more as well, Team O'Neill. So, look, everyone's jumping on board. They really want us here. We didn't know if we'd be able to get to the next round, but we've had great support and sponsors come along. And, you know, if anyone is interested in jumping on board, I'm sure Brenda and I will help promote your business in the best possible way and put you out there in social media and show your business off really well. So, yeah, just contact me on my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, any of those ways, and I'll get you on the bonnet as soon as possible.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air, and it's been wonderful having you here, and good luck in New England and you know, for the rest of this year.
I got to thank you too, Jim. Thanks for being on our bonnets for the last two and on the next one as well. So hopefully we're doing your radio program proud. And thanks for having me on today. And I look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Ree.
See you. Bye.
Bye. All right, that was Rhiannon Smythe and her brother Brendan Reeves. He's in Australia. We were going to have Brendan on air too, and maybe we'll snag him next time he's here in the States for the New England Forest Rally. But they're doing some amazing things, and you know, talking about logistical challenges. I mean, being a team based out of Australia coming over here and running the Rally America Championship, just phenomenal. And you know, and I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, they've got two top fives in two events, and what I didn't mention, and she alluded to it a little bit, but you know, they do a lot of credit. They're running top five times in a two-wheel drive car. You know, they're not running an all-wheel drive like you know, Higgins and Ken Block and you know, and whatnot. And you know, and obviously, you know, they're not nearly that quick. But I mean, to put a two-wheel drive you know, car in the top five is no easy feat, and you know, really a feather in their cap for what they've been able to accomplish. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have Andrew Cadell, a short course racer, just took a job with Dirtfish Rally School up there in Washington, and he's going to have quite a bit to talk about. So stay tuned, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
Bluewater Resort and Casino presents the Native American comedy duo of James and Ernie, Saturday, June 15th.
Oh, man, but we are married men.
That's right.
I mean,
not to each other, but hey, we have wives.
Yeah.
I mean, just one wife. I mean, we don't share just one wife.
We're not that Navajo. Come on now.
The comedy duo of James and Ernie for two shows, 6 and 8 p.m., Saturday, June 15th. Doors open at 5 for the first show and 7:40 p.m. for the second. Advance tickets, $20, 30 day of show. Bluewater Resort and Casino in Parker, Arizona. Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
2013 General Tire Mint 400 presented by Polaris premieres on June 8th at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on the Speed Channel. This special two-hour primetime television show captures the most dynamic and thrilling off-road racing on the planet at the most prestigious and challenging off-road race in America. This year, over 250 race teams battled the brutal 400-mile Mint 400 race course. The competition was fierce, and there were back-and-forth clashes in all 20 classes of vehicles, from the fast-growing Pro UTV class all the way up to the million-dollar unlimited trophy trucks. The overall lead changed 7 times, and less than half of the competitors finished the destructive and punishing race. Don't miss this two-hour special on the Great American Off-Road Race, the 2013 General Tire Mint 400 presented by Polaris.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. Man, we've had a heck of a guest list today. We started off with Travis Pastrana, moved on to Rhiannon Smith, and next up we've got Andrew Cadell, who looks like he's hanging out in the queue. We'll see if we can pick up Andrew. How's everything going, Andrew?
Going great. How are you?
Pretty good. Well, you know, you've got a lot of stuff happening. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you've got the off-road background with the Torque Series. You know, you've done some some road racing in the past, and then, you know, moving on to this year, you haven't had a full-time ride really, but you've kept yourself awfully busy. So let's talk a little bit about what you've got going on.
Yeah, you know, this year we didn't have a full-time ride, so we did some road racing stuff earlier. Did a 12-hour earlier this year back in New Jersey, and then right after, while I was back there for that race, got a call from Brian Deegan to drive his truck at Lake Elsinore in the Lucas Oil Off-Road Series, with him having a GRC commitment over in Spain for X Games. He called me, wanted me to drive his Pro Light, and you know, we got there tested, got fitted for the truck, and then went out there and had a very good weekend. Got a second the first day, got a fifth the second day, and really got him a good points lead. I think he's got a 40-point lead now on the field for the rest of the year, so he got a little bit of a cushion. And then I think that worked out. You know, that worked out to where we're going. This next my next event is going to be another Lucas Oil off-road race for Lone Mart, filling in for Oscar Rodriguez. I met him down at Elsinore over the famous Ampudia pit, having some tacos and quesadillas there, and you know, talked to him a little bit and just, you know, kind of just was talking off-road racing, talking how they got into the sport and everything, and then he called me right after that race and said he couldn't make it for Utah and wanted me to drive his truck for him. So kind of feel like a, you know, good fill-in driver is fine with me as long as I'm staying behind the wheel or something. So happy to be able to fill in and happy to be able to do another off-road race out there.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, awesome. There's, you know, there's a lot of off-road drivers sitting, and you're not. You're driving one way or another. So, you know, it's definitely a feather in your hat that, you know, you're the first call when these teams are looking for somebody to fill in for them.
Yeah, it is very cool. You know, I was getting the call, like I said, when I got a call from Brian Deegan, it was a, you know, a Temecula number calling me, and I didn't know anybody from Temecula. Answered the phone, and, you know, he's like, hey, this is Brian Deegan. You know, it's kind of a shock to get a call from him. You know, that's not an everyday thing in my world. So to get a call from him to drive his truck and for him to put his backing behind me and feel comfortable putting me behind the wheel of his truck was a very good pat on the back and made me feel good. And to go out there and have the results that we did really made everything even better, because, you know, that proves, you know, that shows everybody that, you know, what I can do behind the wheel, and hopefully that will give me some rides in the future.
Well, and speaking of staying behind the wheel, I think you've got a pretty big announcement, you know, that you were telling me. I mean, you're going to work for Dirtfish Rally School, which really should be an awesome experience.
Yeah, you know, I got a call a couple months ago from Ted Anthony, one of the instructors up there, and they were looking to hire some more people. They're getting pretty busy, and got all my training done. I've actually worked up there 2 days. Worked the last this Friday and Saturday here up there at Dirtfish, and then I work all next weekend as well. So it's a great place. You know, the history of that place, you know, Twin Peaks and just, you know, all the buildings, the warehouse buildings and everything, just seeing how the beautiful landscape of the place and you know, working up there at Dirtfish, especially, you know, when it's a nice sunny day, there's nothing better out there. I mean, you know, the beautiful Washington weather, getting to drive rally cars, you know, all day and seeing people, you know, people that don't have any, you know, have never driven a rally car, get, you know, just progressively get better and better throughout the day. You know, they have so many different classes, you know, 2 hour, 4 hour, 1 day, 2 day, and 3 day, and then as well as private coaching. But, you know, there's something there for everybody that, you know, anybody that wants to come in and learn, whatever if you're willing to spend the money, you can do a 3 day class. If you don't have, you know, a ton of money, you can do a 2 hour class and you learn a ton. You get the same amount of instruction. You always have an instructor with you, and we're always there to help you. So it's a great place, and I love working there.
Well, you know, let's talk about some of the changes, I mean, to your driving style. Obviously, you know, you've been, you know, off-road racing and, you know, having driven rally cars and off-road trucks myself. I mean, what kind of changes have you had to make to your driving style, you know, to drive rally cars and instruct people? Because it's really is a little bit different than say short course or desert racing.
Yeah, it took me a while to get used to the cars. You know, all-wheel drive, going to all-wheel drive, coming from rear-wheel drive only. That's all I've ever driven is rear-wheel drive only. So to go to all-wheel drive, and, you know, the first couple of days I was up there driving the cars and just getting used to them and doing all the training stuff. You know, I was driving it like my off-road background. I wasn't driving it like an all-wheel drive rally car. You know, it's just going in there, ditching the thing and catching it. And I was never letting the thing, you know, I was never just turning, you know, with all-wheel drive, wherever those front-wheel tires are pointing is where you're going to go when you get on the gas. So when I was always counter-steering, no matter what I told myself, I would always counter-steer just in my brain. And so getting used to that now, and I think it probably helps me a little bit in off-road. You know, I was very happy to let the truck slide when I was out there at Elsinore. Before, I was always kind of a little nervous to let things slide in, especially with a pro light because they're so narrow, so you're always a little bit worried about them tipping anyway. So to go out there at the rally school and get the thing, yeah, dirt fish to get the thing to rotate for you and, you know, drive sideways pretty much the whole time was kind of a help to me. And, you know, again, being behind the wheel as much as I am now, it doesn't hurt, you know, to get behind the wheel of an off-road truck either.
Yeah, it's definitely got to, you know, keeping yourself sharp, being able to drive, you know, anything, any kind of race car, you know, day in and day out. I mean, it's definitely going to keep you sharp when you get your next call for short course.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Staying behind the wheel, just getting, you know, helping other people out, talking about it to other people and kind of getting it through to other people how to drive this thing. You know, the more I say it, the more it gets embedded into my mind. And so I can actually, you know, go out there and do it behind the wheel of another vehicle. So, you know, working at Dirt Fish is helping me tremendously. And really, there probably is no better job in the world than working at Dirt Fish or any rally school. So I'm glad to be there at Dirt Fish. And, you know, hopefully we'll be there for many years.
Well, let's talk a little bit about short course and stadium super trucks in particular. I know, you know, obviously you've had a great relationship with Traxxas over the years, and last year Robbie at Cranon put you in, you know, one of the stadium super trucks. You got a chance to race one there. You know, having, you know, had some seat time in one of those, you know, I'm sure you've been watching on TV. What do you think about the series this year? And you know, got you excited and any interest in maybe going stadium super trucks racing in the future?
Oh, the series looks great. You know, they're doing good. They got a lot of good competitors. You know, Robbie and Rob have put on some tremendous races this year. I was actually at San Diego, first San Diego race, when, you know, Robbie took the lead and then he kind of made a mistake. Ricky got in the lead and then got a flat tire and Rob passed him into the last corner and then almost flipped in the last corner himself. So I've seen some great racing. Watching on TV, the TV shows look great. And, you know, I saw, you know, Keegan Kincaid filled in for Mike last weekend here out there in St. Louis and led up until the first restart and was doing really well. So I'd love to be out there in the stadium super truck, you know, race some stadium super trucks. Maybe it's in the cards for next year. But, you know, I'd love to do it. It looks like a blast, and Robbie's doing a great job with it.
Awesome. Well, you know, congratulations on picking up a ride with Lomart. Looking forward to you know, to seeing how seeing your race again in the Lucas series. Anybody you got to thank or anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
Yeah, I mean, I got to thank Lomart for giving me the opportunity. Again, you know, also got to thank Brian Deegan for really taking the chance on me when I wasn't really doing anything to put me in this truck and giving me, you know, making, you know, opening the doors for other opportunities. BF Goodrich, you know, they've stuck behind me. You know, I kind of, with Elsinore thing, I kind of had to do a little bit different deal there because it wasn't on BFG tires. But with the Lomart deal, we're going to be back on BFG and hopefully put them up on the box. And you know, just everybody that's helped me get here, you know, AIM Sports has really been behind me, you know, for many years. Data acquisition stuff, Safe Racer, you know, all these different guys that helped me through, you know, tremendously throughout my career getting to off-road. And then, you know, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I got to thank, you know, Dirt Fish for giving me the opportunity to work there too. You know, it's a dream come true to be a coach and to do it at a rally school is a great thing.
All right. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to call in, and I know you're busy up there in Washington. So, you know, have some fun and, throw a couple of cars sideways for me since I'm not up there.
All right. Again, thanks for having me and, always look forward to talking to you.
All right. Take it easy, Andrew.
Thanks.
All right, that was a short course racer. I guess now we can say rally racer, rally driver, Andrew Cadell. Just, you know, obviously, past couple of years, nobody's, you know, there's very few guys that have had the success that Andrew has in short course. I mean, he's got some championships in Torque. You know, he's always running up front when he was running, you know, in the past couple of years. And, you know, hope to see him get a full-time ride again. Just, you know, he's a heck of a wheel man. And, you know, he's got the road racing background where he was highly successful there as well. And, you know, and it's, you know, exciting to see him, you know, pick up rides with Deegan and Lone Mart. We're not talking, you know, backmarker teams. We're talking, you know, elite level short course teams. So very exciting and very cool to see him, you know, sign up with Dirtfish. Just, you know, that's some pretty cool stuff, really. I mean, you know, I'd love to have a job like that where you get to drive rally cars all day long. So, yeah, congrats to Andrew on his two big announcements. You know, we've been interviewing and interviewing today, and we did have some racing action over the weekend. You know, we had Stadium Super Trucks in St. Louis. We had European Rallycross, the American Invasion over there in Europe this weekend, which is exciting. You know, lots of cool stuff. Also had some motocross from High Point in Pennsylvania, but really, to me, you know, obviously Stadium Super Trucks is big, ERC is big, but this weekend, finally, the MIT 400 debuting on television. You know, it's the one that everybody wants to see. Mad Media does a phenomenal job with the production of that, and you know, debuted Saturday night to an absolutely awesome showing. I think from what I understand, I'm thinking radio here. Viewer numbers were through the roof. I think you know, overnights were just phenomenal on it. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how that shakes up. You know, you heard the commercial during the last break, but they're having a re-air 5 o'clock Pacific time this Thursday the 13th on Speed Channel. The MIT 400 will be re-airing, so you can, if you missed it on Saturday, set your DVR, 5 o'clock Pacific time, Thursday the 13th, Speed Channel, the MIT 400 is re-airing, so definitely want to check that out. But Stadium Super Trucks from St. Louis, finally Stadium Super Trucks moving away from the West Coast to start their Midwest and East Coast swing now. St. Louis, the first one up, and, you know, obviously you guys that follow them on social media have been keeping tabs on everything that's going on. They added a unique concept this race, a $5,000 purse, and basically what it was the top four qualifiers get to compete for a $5,000 purse. So, you know, it's something new. You know, they threw it in mid-season. I think, you know, it's really cool stuff, to be honest with you. You know, obviously Rob McCracken on the pole. Sheldon Creed, the young gun, coming in second. You know, to be honest with you, let's talk Sheldon for a minute. This kid, what he's accomplished, he doesn't even have a driver's license yet. That's what you guys don't realize. I mean, he doesn't even have a driver's license yet, I don't think. And here he is just dominating short course. I mean, he's been successful in the Lucas Series. I've had a chance to see him, you know, race in person. And let me tell you, the skill set this kid has is just amazing. I mean, he's going into Stadium Super Trucks, which really is being thrown to the wolves. I mean, you know, Robbie Gordon, Rob McCracken, Justin Lofton. I mean, you know, the list goes on. You know, Ari Jr., PJ Jones. I mean, you know, we're talking about highly competitive, successful drivers. I mean, Matney, Chenny, you know, Ricky Johnson, Jeff Ward. I mean, and this kid's going in and showing the veterans what is going on. I mean, you know, he qualified second and very close to Rob McCracken's time. You know, and then you also had Robbie Gordon sneaking in there in the top three in qualifying. But really just, man, a heck of a show in St. Louis. So your final results ended up winding up as Rob McCracken sweeping the weekend, obviously taking the pole and then taking the win there. Robbie Gordon finishing second. Nick Baumgartner in third with his second podium finish. You know, I talked with Nick recently, and we're going to have him on air here sometime in the next couple of weeks. So really excited to have Nick Baumgartner on air. Obviously, you know, he's got the short course background, Stadium Super Trucks. I mean, he's an Olympic snowboarder. You know, this guy is really, you know, just got involved in so many things. He ought to be an awesome interview. Abdilly Lopez finished fourth. Lalo Laguna fifth. Justin Lofton in sixth. Keegan Kincaid seventh. Sheldon Creed in eighth. Not having quite the weekend to be able to capitalize on that heck of a qualifying position that he did. Justin Matney finishing in ninth. We've got to Adrian Chenny in 10th, PJ Jones 11th, and Ari Jr. rounding out your top 12. just really, you know, really a great weekend. I mean, week in, week out, the Stadium Super Trucks, it's just making for some great TV and some great racing action. I'm just excited to see really what the Midwest and the East Coast thinks of these. I mean, us being on the West Coast, we're spoiled. You know, we've got the Lucas series that's happening all over the Southwest. We've got obviously Best in the Desert that's you know, that's all over the Southwest. You know, you've got Score that's right south of the border. You know, and not to mention, I mean, you know, we get X Games in Los Angeles. We've got all kinds of Supercross and Motocross, Formula Drift. You know, we're really spoiled with so many different types of events, you know, and in the Midwest, I mean, St. Louis, Missouri, you know, they don't get a lot of motorsports there. You know, not like we do in the Southwest. So, you know, it's exciting to see these fans, you know, and they've got Minnesota, you know, coming up soon, you know, and it's going to be exciting to see how these other, you know, these other cities that haven't really been exposed to off-road racing like we have, or, you know, rally racing for that matter, you know, how they take to these dirt sports. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And, you know, it's going to be exciting. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, let's just talk Minnesota here for a minute, because, you know, I'm really familiar with the demographics. I stay up there, you know, quite a bit, you know, a couple of weeks in the wintertime. You know, I'm getting ready here in a couple of weeks to head up there for 2 weeks, you know, this summer. You know, it's, you know, they get Supercross there, you know, once a year. They get Motocross there once a year, you know, and in between that, you know, they've got drag racing in Brainerd, and you know, and they've got Snowcross. I mean, Snowcross is Minnesota. That's motorsports in Minnesota. I mean, you know, Levi Lavalle, he's a superhero there. You know, it's Tucker Hibbert. I mean, those are name brand people. You know, but you know, guys that we associate with here, you know, we're talking Justin Loftins. Obviously, you know, he's got some mainstream followers because of his, you know, his NASCAR background, but guys like Rob McCracken, who is probably, you know, arguably, you know, and it has been argued recently, the best off-road driver ever. You know, really in the Midwest, outside of like Crandon and Bark River, I mean, you know, he's not real well known, where, you know, in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, San Diego, you know, Arizona, he's a superhero, you know, and, really, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how these fans take it in, and you know, and I'm hoping that, you know, by being in St. Louis, being in Minnesota, Stadium Super Trucks is going to ignite a fan base and really, you know, get them following, you know, following social media for off-road racing and hitting up Race Desert and the forums and talking off-road and rally and Global Rallycross. And I'm hoping they get, you know, kind of the dirt sports, action motorsports fever and really brings in this whole new demographic of fans to our sports. I think, you know, really what Robbie's doing by taking the Steel Nationwide is just awesome and putting it in these arenas. I mean, you know, in Minnesota, you know, it's going to be, well, I guess, you know, I believe it's in the Dome, but I mean, you know, it'd be the same place that the Twins played forever, that the Vikings have played in forever. You know, it's, you know, it's going to be huge. So really looking forward to that. Obviously, Stadium Super Trucks next up, June 22nd in Chicago. Another big one, Soldier Field. I mean, the same field the Chicago Bears play on, one of probably one of the most notable NFL franchises in history. And we're going to have off-road trucks jumping and flying around on Soldier Field. I mean, how huge is that? I mean, you know, try and really grasp that. That's, I mean, you know, Soldier Field, that's one of the most notable stadiums, you know, football stadiums in the country, and you're going to have off-road trucks flying around it. I think that, to me, being, you know, I'm a, you know, obviously, you know, by now, I'm a nut for anything off-road and rally, but, I mean, that, you know, for some of us, I mean, that's, you know, that's been a dream, and to see Robbie bring that back, I think, is amazing. So, yeah, June 22nd, Chicago, Soldier Field. Any of you who are tuned in from Chicago or Illinois or anywhere in the Midwest and can make it out to Chicago June 22nd, I definitely think you need to. You know, obviously, Stadium Super Trucks had some great deals on Groupon recently. So I'm sure you can get a 50% off coupon code if you're looking for it and get your tickets cheap. They've had some great family packs and stuff. So let's skip over to a little bit of European Rallycross. Tanner Faust and Brian Deegan, the OMSE teammates, heading over to Europe and seeing how they fare in the ERC. Now, you know, keep in mind Tanner, obviously off and on, he's raced ERC quite a bit. But Deegan, as he was on our show, I believe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we had Brian on. You know, we've had him on a couple times this year, but I'm thinking the last time he said, he's like, and he wasn't even committed to of it then. He said, I need to go and do ERC racing. I need more seat time in a global rallycross car. He says, the way it is now, he says, I'm just showing up to the track and driving. And he says, I have no test time, no seat time. He's like, I need seat time and I need it against people, not just myself running around the course. He's like, I really want to go run ERC because it's going to benefit me. You know, with really the GRC North American series really ramping up here after X Games Germany. So it looks like Deegan made his way over there, you know, to compete. And, you know, ERC, you know, we've talked about it before. I mean, you know, the courses are so different there in Europe than we are here. I mean, you know, they're purpose-built facilities that are there. Lots of dirt. I guess tarmac, you want to say in rally, or not tarmac, but gravel, as they say in rally terms. I'm an off-road guy, so we just call it dirt. You know, you've got dirt and asphalt. You know, you don't have gravel and tarmac. So I'm learning the lingo as we go, but lots of dirt in Europe anyways. You know, ERC series, I mean, you know, you talk about big-name drivers. I mean, you know, Petter Solberg, it doesn't get any better than Petter. I mean, he is literally, I mean, one of you know, one of the best rally drivers in history. I mean, you know, he's had so many years of the World Rally Championship. He's you know, one of the best drivers in the world, and he's running ERC now. You know, obviously Liam Doran, he runs GRC, but you know, he's been a fixture of the ERC for so long. You know, you've got Brian Deegan going over there. You've got Tanner Faust, who consistently is over there. You know, just got a great series over there. A great, great group of drivers, a great group of courses. And it's just exciting to see, you know, a series that's so big over there and has such a following. So really official results for the supercar class coming out of Rallycross. They were in Finland. Tanner Faust taking the win in the OMSE Ford Fiesta. You had Teamer, gosh, I always butcher his name. Let's just call him Teamer, in the Citroen finishing second. Timmy Hansen in third in a Citroen. Liam Doran finishing fourth in the Citroen. And make note, in the Citroen, he's running both Citroens and Minis this year. Running the Citroen, it looks like, in the ERC series. He's going to have the Mini Cooper in all of the GRC events. So Liam looks like he's skipping back and forth between the two. But he was in the Citroen there in Finland, taking home a fourth place. Petter Solberg looks like he's still getting his feet wet, so to speak, in rallycross. Been very, very fast, and I think by the end of this year, I mean, he's definitely going to be a force. But Petter finishing fifth. You had Andreas Backerud. He's finishing sixth with the Citroen. You had Tomas Häkkinen in the other Oldsburg OMSC Fiesta finishing in seventh. Davey Janey finishing in the Citroen in eighth, and Anton Markland in the Volkswagen finishing in ninth. Skipping down to Brian Deegan, he finished in 13th position in the Oldsburg Fiesta. Looks like he had a rough day with really not some really great finishes, but you know, obviously Deegan, he's a competitor. I don't know the full story behind that. But finishing down there in 13th position, not typical Brian Deegan style. You know, you know, you look down this and we're talking ERC, but, you know, let's skip over to GRC for a minute. I mean, you know, this really has become, you know, rallycross and the GRC a manufacturer's championship. There's no other motorsport really in the world that's getting these type of manufacturers. I mean, you've got Ford involved, you've got Citroen, You've got Mini Cooper now. You've got Volkswagen. You've got Dodge, Travis Pastrana and Bryce Menzies' run. You know, the list goes on. We've had Hyundai in the past. They take a step back to, it looks like, you know, obviously Reese is going to be involved with their program with Pikes Peak. You know, and now I read that coming up here, we're going to have somebody running a Chevrolet Sonic in the GRC this year. So, you know, that's, you know, there's not really any other motorsport that I can name that's got Chevrolet, Ford, and Dodge, all three competing. I think that's huge. I mean, you know, the big three in America all competing in the GRC. You know, NASCAR doesn't have that anymore. IndyCar darn sure doesn't have it. I mean, it's huge. That's big. Very exciting things for GRC and looking forward to seeing how it grows. And obviously the European Rallycross, I mean, you know, just a great series. And I hope that more Americans go over there and run in between the GRC rounds. I think it benefits the entire Rallycross community. And, you know, great to see guys like Deegan and Tanner getting, you know, their European fan base built up. And obviously, you know, Ken Block, who is huge in Europe, love to see him run some ERC when he gets a chance. And, you know, and vice versa, have it guys like Liam come over here to the States and run GRC. And, you know, we've had, you know, I think Petter Solberg, he's got it on his calendar to possibly run maybe one or two events here stateside, at least X Games Los Angeles, I understand. So, you know, it's really the growth of Rallycross in really a few short years has been tremendous, to say the least. It's very exciting. And, you know, at least here stateside, I mean, you know, it's kind of like we talk about what Stadium Super Trucks has done, where, you know, you put an event where people can take their families and it's nice seating. You know, you've got bathrooms, great facilities, you know, food. I mean, you're not in the dirt all day. It's you know, it's easy, it's accessible. Show up in the evening, you know, watch the race, go home. You don't have to spend a day out there in the heat sweating and stuff like that. And, you know, and I don't want to say it's the future of motorsports, but I can definitely see the appeal and see why, you know, why they are growing. You know, the other big one happening over the weekend, we had some motocross from High Point in Pennsylvania. That's right, motocross series, AMA Lucas Oil Pro Motocross, definitely in high gear right now. Round four at High Point. You know, as other series are taking some time off in the summer, I mean, you know, AMA Motocross is really fired up. And we've got a heck of a battle going. I mean, just a heck of a battle. You know, we're going to skip back a couple of years to the 450 classes. And, I mean, you've had 2010 Dungey won at High Point. Then you had 2011, you had Villapoto win at High Point. 2012, you had Dungey win at High Point because, you know, Villapoto obviously was injured last year. And then in the 250s, you've had Baggett and Tomac take victories. So really, I mean, you know, had a lot of different winners here at High Point. And really in the 450s, I mean, Villapoto and Dungey doing battle this year. That's the easiest way to put it. I mean, they definitely are battling back and forth. And I'm loving, you know, they had it going on, and you throw Millsaps in the mix and Supercross. Obviously, he's injured, but it's great to see this rivalry continue in motocross, and it's really making for an exciting season. Your 250 results, you had Marvin Musquin taking the victory on the KTM. You had Kenny Roczen in second, Eli Tomac in third, Zach Osborne in fourth, Blake Baggett rounding out your top five. 250 point standings. You've got Kenny Roczen in the lead with 185 points. You got Tomac in second with 170, and Marvin Musquin with 163, rounding out your top three. And really, between those three, I mean, it's anybody's ball game at this point. All three very capable, and they're having a good battle going back and forth between the three of them, and looking forward to seeing how that shapes out. But the 450s, I mean, you know, talk about talk about really a crazy year. I mean, you know, obviously we had the huge battle in Supercross. Everybody was excited about it. Obviously, Ryan Villapodium, as he's become known, got hot there at the end and really wrapped up the Supercross title. But we saw some great things out of Dungy. We saw some great things out of Millsaps. And, James Bubba Stewart, he showed signs of the Bubba Stewart of old in Supercross this year. So we go to High Point here, round four, and once again, it was Villapoto and Dungy battling as they have done all year, for that top spot. Villapoto taking both the heat wins with a 1-1, and taking the win, but Dungy finishing second. 2 seconds. So, I mean, obviously those two just battling it out. I mean, and so now you've got Dungy 1 in 2010, Villapoto 11, Dungy 12, Villapoto 13. So the past 4 years you've had Villapoto and Dungy with two wins apiece at High Point. I mean, you know, next year, who's it going to be? I mean, as a record show, I guess it should be Dungy. We'll see. But, yeah, you've got Villapoto with a win, Dungy second. You've got Tyler Rattray finishing in third. And speaking of Rattray, I mean, he's had some success at High Point as well, taking the win there in the 250 class back in 2012. So he's definitely no stranger to winning at High Point. But you've got Barsha finishing in fourth at the third and a seventh, and then Alessi in fifth with a 10 and a three. Other notables, you've got Weimer down there in ninth place, and you skip it all the way back to Chad Reed, not his day, having a 14th, 13th position finish. So your 450 point standings, really, you got two guys checking out on everybody else, and I'm excited to see Dungy, going bar to bar with Villapoto and keeping it close. You got Villapoto on top of the point standings, 193. You got Dungy in second with 177. Barsha in third, and I'll make note of it again, but I've predicted. I mean, this is Barsha's first time full-time in the 450s. Obviously, he ran the Monster Energy Cup last year, but my prediction in the next 2 years, you're gonna see Barsha take home a Supercross title. So, we'll see if my predictions come out, but I'm telling you, this kid, the future is Supercross right there in motocross. So you've got Barsha in third with 148, Kennard fourth with 120, and Alessi rounded out your top five with 116, and then James Stewart sitting in sixth with 104 points. So going forward, our next round, Bud's Creek, I mean, one of the most notable motocross tracks in the country, happening on June 22nd. Looks like we're going to have a stocked weekend of racing on June 22nd when we get to our upcoming events here in a few minutes. But, June 22nd, lots of events happening. So that rounds out our AMA motocross coverage. And, what do you guys think? Dungy, Villapoto, who's going to have it this year? Hit us up on the chat board and let us know. I think, I don't know. I don't want to say Villapoto, but gosh, he's tough. But, I'm a Dungy fan myself, and, I can't knock Villapoto. I'm not saying I'm not a Villapoto fan, but I just like seeing Dungy, keep it close. It makes it exciting for me. But some big things happening this week, specifically tomorrow. Two big things happening tomorrow. Number one, happening earlier in the day, Bon Gittin Jr., his new film, Fire Drift. It's dropping tomorrow. You're going to be able to check it out. I think Monster Energy's Facebook page and Von Gittin Jr.'s Facebook page. I'm sure the Hoonigans will have it as well. It's going to be hitting sometime in the morning on all three. We're talking, comparable to BJ Baldwin's Recoil. I mean, he's got, I think I just checked, I talked to BJ over the weekend. I did my radio show in Vegas at the Mint premiere. BJ come on air and hung out with him for a while. 3.5 million views to Recoil. It's huge. 3.5 million. I mean, you realize that's, I mean, there's not many TV shows in the country pulling in 3.5 million views. And here we've got BJ's off-road film, 3.5 million views on YouTube. It's crazy. If you haven't seen it yet, you need to. I mean, he's really taken off-road mainstream, but that's definitely getting sidetracked like I tend to do on the show. But Bon Gittin Jr. Fire Drift, it's dropping tomorrow. I'll definitely have a post on my Facebook page as soon as it goes live, but definitely looking forward to seeing that. You know, there's been a trailer on air. You can check that out on Vaughn's Facebook page. You know, and it shows him drifting through fire. I really have no idea what to expect, honestly. Knowing Vaughn, it's going to be over the top. It's going to be crazy. But I'm, you know, I don't know what to expect other than I can tell you it's going to be worth probably your 3 to 5 minutes worth of time to watch. So Vaughn Gittin Jr. Fire Drift dropping tomorrow. And then another big announcement. This one, you know, obviously was in Vegas over the weekend doing live radio and doing some emceeing for the MIT 400 premiere. Talk with Joey D. From UTV Underground, the world's largest UTV website. He told me, he says, be on the lookout Tuesday, 6 o'clock Pacific time, PM. That's not AM. You don't have to get up early. I'm not telling you to get out of bed at the butt crack of dawn, but 6 o'clock on Tuesday, PM. Tomorrow, Yamaha is debuting their 2014 product lineup and specifically UTVs. He really wouldn't allude to me what's happening, but I think it's fair and safe to assume that Yamaha, you know, they created the UTV industry really with the Rhino way back when. I mean, you go back, Yamaha created this whole UTV craze and industry, and I mean, you know as well as I do how crazy it's gotten. I mean, we talk Polaris and how Polaris has raised the bar every single year, but they didn't create this industry. They just capitalized on it. But Yamaha, the creators, they're finally debuting a sport UTV. That's my prediction. I've got a good feeling that's what's going to happen, but for 2014, they're entering the sport UTV market, and my guess is if it's taken them this long to do it, it's going to be worth your while. So I'm going to be tuned in. I'm sure Joey D., I would say go to UTV Underground for all the coverage. 6 o'clock tomorrow, Yamaha debuting the 2014 lineup. You're going to want to watch it, you know, and see what the heck Yamaha pulls out of their hat. I mean, you know, if they do something, they're usually all in and they don't half-ass it. And I'm sure that's the case with this one. So really excited to be to see what Yamaha has in store for us. Events coming up, man, you talk about events coming up, and this next weekend, not a whole lot happening. You know, we've got really the big one this weekend. Torque, they're back in action, man. It's been a while since we've had some short course other than stadium super trucks, but Torque back in action June 15th. Obviously they'll have two events over the weekend, but Bark River, one of the big ones, one of the iconic off-road short course venues, Bark River. You're going to want to watch that. Obviously Torque does a phenomenal job with their live stream on the internet. You know, you're going to want to watch it. You know, this is one of the big ones to win. You know, you tell everybody in the Torque series, what are your two favorite events? There's two of them. Obviously, Fall Crane, and that's the biggest short course off-road race in the world. And then you've got Bark River. I mean, just an iconic venue. Everybody loves to run there. You know, it's just a great facility, great course, great atmosphere. So Bark River this weekend, June 15th, you're going to want to watch it. So as we've talked about, you know, you've got Bark River this weekend, and then past that, we really don't have a whole lot. Until the 21st, 22nd weekend, we've got Stadium Super Trucks in Chicago, Soldier Field. You're going to want to watch that. We've got Motocross, as we said, Buds Creek, one of the iconic motocross venues in the country, the 22nd. Then we've got Formula Drift hitting up the wall in New Jersey. That's a crazy venue. Those of you that are drift fans know that the wall, I mean, it's just a nutty, nutty facility. They call it the wall for a reason. So you're going to want to check that out. Formula Drift, they're going to have it all streamed live on their website, formulad.com. You want to check that out. We got World Rally Championship from Italy this weekend, and I definitely go to WRCLive.com. Bex, she does a great job with live rally radio. Just great people over there, and you can, you know, get all the action online. Lucas Oil, 21st and 22nd, Salt Lake City, heading up to Utah, And we're going to have Andrew Cadell, debuting in the Lone Mark truck. So you're going to want to watch Lucas Oil the 21st and 22nd. I guess you can't watch online, but be paying attention. I'm sure there'll be updates off and on social media as well as racedesert.com. And then the big one, 27th through the 30th of this month, we've got X Games from Germany. So you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that. Good friend Jolene Van Vuit, she'll be back in action in Endurocross, men's and women's Endurocross. We'll have full coverage of that, motocross speed and style, and we'll also have Global Rallycross. I'm thinking they're going to go over and above and really knock this one out of the park after what happened in Barcelona. So very excited for that. Give me a follow on Instagram and Twitter at JimBeaver15. Facebook.com/Down and Dirty Show. Got to thank Blue Water Resort and Casino, Speed Energy, Casey Highlights, UPR.com. They got a huge garage sale feature going on their website. Blowout prices on Alpine Stars and Sparco gear. You want to check that out. Got to thank Travis Pastrana for calling in, Rhiannon Smith, Andrew Cadell, and Racetech Seats. Check them out, racetech-usa.com. Thanks to everybody for making the 75th show possible. Without you, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, so I'd be talking to dead air. Thanks for tuning in, and next week, Little Birdie tells me we may have Nick Baumgartner. I can't tell you for sure, but you'll definitely want to stay tuned, and always remember, it's game on.